This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to the iFanboy Special Edition podcast about the movie 300, sponsored by YouBuyNow.com. Welcome to the special edition of the iFanboy podcast, talking about the movie 300. I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh. And with us are 297 other men.
And they're in the other room.
And nobody's wearing pants.
Why go there?
It's almost impossible not to. True. Just spent 2 hours looking at naked ripped dudes.
That's a very good point.
I have never felt so out of shape in my life.
I know.
I'm just looking at it going, squishy, squishy, squishy.
More
squishy.
Salads.
So we literally just got out of the movie. It's Saturday here in New York City, and we caught a nice little afternoon matinee of 300, and we raced home again to get to our computer to talk about the movie with you folks.
So, oh my God, we have to tell everybody.
So the adaptation of Frank Miller's graphic novel 300 finally hit screens this weekend.
After nine years
since publication, originally published by Dark Horse.
I haven't read the book since it's...
Since issues.
I probably reread the issues, but I haven't read it since it's been at least 5 or 6 years since I've read the book.
Yeah. And I didn't read it on purpose because I wanted to go into the movie kind of clean. You know,
well, there was that and the fact that my books are far away.
Right.
So even if I wanted to, I couldn't reread it.
Cry me a river.
I know.
So, all right. So, initial reactions. Like, dislike, good, bad?
I'm actually curious. I like Josh to start. Simply because Josh is the most invested in this. He was the most worried about it going into it.
Was he really?
Well, I don't know if I was worried.
Yeah.
I think that...
Well, you helped fund the movie, so you had a lot. Well, you had a big stake into it.
I put in like two mil.
Yeah.
I expect to get it back. I think it's going to be a strong.
Well, yeah, I think it will. It's going to be a good opening.
I told him though, anything under 45, and we're hosed on this one. this is 300. As if you remember, in our video debut was one of my top fives because it's one of my favorite graphic novels. It's such a great complete story, beautiful art, and I remember going into this, I kind of thought, I was saying to Connor, I kind of feel like I've seen it already. Because I've read the book, and I saw the trailer, so I can guess what those other parts of the movie are going to look like.
The trailer was oddly encompassing for such a short period.
That's
especially
becoming,
the new one. Of the
that's becoming de rigueur.
Yeah.
You know, like, just let's tell as much of the story as possible. Like, do we need to see Spider-Man 3 at this point?
Right, yeah.
And basically, I've been seeing some reviews here and there that weren't great. Not that I
of 300,
like,
really?
Yeah. It's really? Very mixed reviews. People seem to either like it or
I don't
hate
read
it.
Reviews, so.
No, and I didn't read them. Yeah. I would see the headlines around. I liked it. I don't know if I loved it. I don't think it was bad in any way. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but I don't know if I needed it.
Interesting.
Because I really like the book, and I'm a big proponent of the book is the book. I like the book, and mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need to tell the story in a different way. That being said, the things I liked about it a lot were.
Well, before we get to the, normally.
Well, but just overall, I think one of the things that you can either buy into it or not.
Yeah.
You can either because they're chewing up the scenery.
Right.
And there's no.
It's over the top. I mean, it's definitely
exactly. There's no half-assing.
Intentionally over the top.
But that's what Frank Miller does.
Yeah, no, totally.
And so it's like one of those things like you're not going to like the movie if you're not predisposed to like Frank Miller.
Right.
Definitely, it's the book.
Yeah. It's the story on steroids. You know, it's like it's not a historical. I saw people complaining that it's not historically accurate. No shit, there's fucking monsters in it.
Yeah.
You know? it's the story of whatever happened.
Xerxes was 9 feet tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
On steroids. It's exaggerated. Yeah. It's on purpose.
So did you like it?
I had a really good time.
I had a good time. I mean, I liked it. I don't know if it's one of those movies that I'm going to go back for years and be like, oh, it's the fucking greatest thing ever. Yeah, I don't know if it
was. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you that I don't know if it was the greatest thing ever, and I don't think this is, I don't think it's going to win an Oscar next year or anything like that, but I fucking loved it. I thought it was great. I had a great time.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I mean, the true test to me for any movie, just regardless of comic book movie or not, is the number of times I look at my watch, mm-hmm. even though right now my watch is dead, but I still look at it because out of reflex. And this was 2 hours, and it flew by.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, like when it was over, I was like, oh, it's over? Oh, no, I wanted more, you know? Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a sign of a good movie. So, I mean, I really liked it. I really, really liked it.
Let me ask you, what did Zack Snyder do?
That's a good question.
Literally, I read an article that he gave the effects guys.
Zack Snyder's the director of the film.
Do the wolf scene. Well, how? Well, here's the book.
They just handed the issue.
Did they not have a script? Did they get there every day and all the actors got a copy of the book? He's like, all right, we're doing pages 4 and 8 today. I'm like, well, wait.
He's also going through puberty.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to do 4 and 8 today. Get the shot over here.
It's possible.
I think one thing the movie has over the book is that the book, as great as the book is, I love the book, is that the ballet of the fight. It's not as you can't capture that on a page.
The fluidity of the fight, and I gotta admit,
the scene where that guy spins and fights through the whole, like he just goes forward, mm-hmm. and it just spins and cuts and stabs. That was great.
The fight choreography I thought was amazing. Was like it, honestly, like
that's
the
a really good point. Yeah.
The flight choreography almost, and we were talking about this in the car ride back. We were talking about the movie Troy with Brad Pitt for different reasons, but I almost felt as if the fight choreography in this is what should have been in Troy.
Right.
It was elegant.
It was brutal,
but it was elegant. But it was like there was blood everywhere, but you didn't feel overwhelmed by the violence. Like it felt almost like classical music kind of choreography. You know what I mean? Like it felt it's kind of
symphonious. I did a paper on this in college, but by making the experience hyper real, you take away the realism of the death.
Right.
It's
I
not
mean, there
horrifying.
Are decapitations and stuff. Yeah. No,
it's not horrifying to watch somebody get stabbed.
Although when they stabbed the dude through the bicep,
uh-huh. That was tough. Yeah.
I think I crushed my friend's hand. She got mad, and I was like, I'm sorry. It's so painful.
That's awesome. And you've got a big paw.
I know.
I never do that during action movies, but I do it during, like, like ER.
Well, that was like, but that was
they cracked somebody's chest on an ER last night, and I was like, ah.
Yeah, you know me, I'm the biggest wuss in the world, and like, and the decapitations, I thought I was, but I wasn't even.
No, that was fine, but for some reason, it was a slow cut through the bicep that just really got me.
But no, it, I thought the fight choreography, and I actually, I mean, I hate it's so cliche to be like it was visually stunning, but I just thought it was beautiful.
No, it was.
I mean,
really
it was just a beautiful film from start to end. Every scene was beautiful.
But I give that's Frank all Frank Miller
and Lynn Varley.
Yeah, Lynn Varley, unsung.
What
Lynn
sucks
Varley.
Is you should watch the credits and it should be art design Frank Miller, Lynn Varley. It should be costume design Frank Miller, Lynn Varley.
Like
it
there's somebody, be, but it's not, listed as the costume designer, and they weren't really the costume designer; they were a costume maker. Right. They had everything.
Yeah,
I mean, right down to I'm looking at the cover of the book, and there's Leonidas' helmet with the little cut in the eye slit. Like they did it exactly. I mean. Maybe even more so than Sin City.
Right, yeah. No, I think this was more of a translation than Sin City was. I mean, it took what he did with Sin City, I think, a step further.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it was also easier to do...
Well, Frank Miller.
It's also easier to translate than Sin City is. It's a straightforward story. Yeah. Sin City's harder.
And you're also almost, you know, unencumbered by the historical context of it.
Yeah.
I mean, because Sin City is somewhat set close to now, you know, so it's somewhat realistic. There are cars, there's things like that. Whereas this is just, you know, on the beach in Greece and everybody's practically naked. Naked as it is anyway, but
in the book they actually are naked a lot of the time.
Yeah, well there were boobies. I was kind of disappointed by the boobies. I was hoping for more. They got the boobies out of the way very early on, and then there was a. But
you should see the look I'm giving him right now.
But it was great. It blew me away. It was. You know,
I think there was a plus and a minus to the CGI blood. Because I thought it was used poetically in the battle.
Yeah.
Blood was used purposely, and it's easier. You can manipulate it with CGI. But on the other hand. It kept taking me out because I kept thinking, this guy should be covered head to toe in blood right now. And right. I just kept taking me out of the story because I kept thinking, well, why isn't he just covered in blood?
Right.
But I thought it splattered well, and they used it to good effect in the battle choreography, but that just bothered me.
One thing that bothered me... I
mean, that's so fucking minor.
Right, now, yeah. Well, one thing that bothered me was, and this is something that was also somewhat present in Sin City, but not totally, is that Frank Miller has such a distinctive design in terms of his creatures...
Yeah,
like
they looked like Frank Miller drawings.
They did, but even then, I was like, I felt as if they didn't look like it enough, and I don't think you
really?
Can. I don't think you can translate.
I mean, they looked like a Frank Miller drawing.
Yeah, but like I'm thinking of also
they had the round facial structure.
Yeah, well, I was thinking like that Yellow Bastard in Sin City looked just like in the book, but even then, I was like, you know, that it's kind of. I guess I'm liking it to the argument of, you know. X-Men in spandex doesn't look well on film. I don't know if these designs look well in reality, but they came very close. That's all. I mean, you know, it's a total nitpick. It still
I would
great,
say it
know?
Worked in the context
I
of
thought
the
it
film.
Yeah. I thought it looked great.
There it goes.
I love Xerxes. I love the guy who I love the whole Persian army. They were just I thought they were the designs and everything were just amazing.
Thank Frank Miller.
Well, no, I know. I mean, I just thought. I mean,
this was done 9 years ago,
and it was. And what was great, and I said it in the car right over here, was that I loved how they just got the story out of the way and they got to the fighting in like the first half hour, mm-hmm. and like the rest of the movie was just all the fighting, and which is the book, which mm-hmm. is you know. Mm-hmm. So,
do you guys feel like you are less manly?
Yes.
I feel like I'm much more dopey.
Well, it's not so much the physical part, just the manly
part. Well, it's funny. Both you guys came out saying you said, Connor, you said you need to do sit-ups more often, and you're making the doughy thing. My point was, I need a lot more motivational yelling in my life. Like, I want to go to work and be like, we will create web pages! You know? That's what I'm doing on Monday. Everyone who works for me
Shut up, Frank.
Everyone who works for me is doomed. It's just like...
a great time though.
Yeah,
everyone seemed to really like it in the theater. Got applause at the end.
Yeah, probably the best moment of the movie I think was the
Senate
the council. Yeah, the council
oddly enough, not at all a battle scene.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the politics side of it. Yeah, which was great.
I think Ron and I shared a look because like the woman makes her big speech, and this is not the part that got the applause. The woman gives her big speech and.
The villain
Dominic West, Jimmy McNulty stands up and he gives it a slow golf clap.
It was great. It was so good.
I was like, they're actually going with the slow clap.
It was
and
great.
Then I forget what he said.
He had a line after the slow clap,
and he had like the shit eating grin. Very precious, you know, whatever it was he said.
Which gave the awesome moment of a completely silent theater except for Josh's cackle, which was brilliant, which just then made me laugh.
If you've ever been in the movie theater with me, you'll hear it. There'll be that moment that nobody else laughs at but me.
Yep.
Usually when somebody dies.
Yeah. No, that's me in theater. That's what I do. I laugh at the inappropriate moments in theater. But that's a lot of blood. But yeah, no, that was the I thought the I, and when the queen stabbed him, we're totally spoiling the movie. I'm sorry.
Well, you should be listening to.
Well,
it.
I have I but there's no context, so it's all right. But when the queen stabbed him, the whole theater broke out into applause, which was the only time they broke
that
into applause.
That wasn't in the book, was it?
I don't remember. I haven't read the book in 10 years. I don't even like Frank Miller.
No. I'm not the biggest Frank Miller fan,
yeah,
really.
Not so
but,
much, yeah.
But I don't like. I don't. I'm not a huge Sin City fan, but I really love 300. And I really love The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
But I did have one issue again. If you're, I don't want to spoil it for you, but they tacked on an ending a little bit.
Yeah. Well.
Which for me, like, I was like, if you're gonna do the book note for note,
right.
Do the book note for note, because at the end of the book, basically, they die. And it's like they fought, and
right? But I mean, you have to do that. I mean, well, here's the ending.
They had the ending. It's just not as
there's in depth, but there's a shot.
It's more. It's one page in the book mm-hmm. when it's a longer sequence in the movie, mm-hmm. and you assume here when they make it very obvious in the movie, which is just kind of the Americanization.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they could have changed a lot more for the movie, and we're lucky they did. You know what I mean? Like we can't. You know, if they got 98%. That's better than
I know. But when you change, yeah. like he chose, yeah. like when you write a story.
Right.
The ending's real important. It's the
right,
ending.
But it could be argued that
the ending is the epilogue. The ending yeah. is the fight. This is an epilogue. They just extended the epilogue.
Right.
That's not a big deal.
Well, what about Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings shortened the ending.
Right, yeah, no, but it's not true. They changed
no,
it. It's
no,
a change.
Not in spirit at all, because basically yeah. the end of the Lord of
but
the Rings...
But I don't think that was
that's
not
the spirits,
in spirit.
Right
that's,
here.
Yeah,
right,
the
then,
we're looking
here.
At the page.
There's the speech,
yeah.
and then there's the charge.
I just think... I know what you're saying, is that it made it... It left less to the viewer to assume.
Mm-hmm.
It made it very obvious.
Do you think Frank Miller did this, like, with making a movie in mind?
I mean, probably not.
I know, but like it just so like
especially 8 years ago, this wouldn't be possible.
Well, but it was so wide; it was already done widescreen. I mean, it's one of the first widescreen comics when you think about mm-hmm. it. You know, I mean, look at the hardcover that we're looking at is done double page spreads. You know, mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, the thing is, I don't think he did it to make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord knows, Lord knows
he's a cinematically minded person. Anyway.
Yeah.
Look at RoboCop 2.
Do you think that Alan Moore hates the fact that Frank Miller's works were translated 98% correctly and his are just butchered all the hell?
Well, you want to bet that Alan Moore really secretly dislikes Frank Miller and hates being lumped into them all the time?
Yeah.
That would be great.
There's just this rivalry that
yeah.
was so under
like,
the radar.
Like they'd see
yeah.
each other at like yeah. they wouldn't be in an office, but like they'd see each other at kind of like the water the water
office.
Cooler and they just sort of look at each other sideways. Frank, Alan.
Like Alan Frank Miller walks away, and Alan Moore turns to Eddie Campbell. He's like, "God, I hate that guy."
Like, just like, and Eddie's like, "Why?" He's like, "I don't know.
There's something about him." So, all right, cool. So, yeah, I mean, like, we don't have a ton.
We highly recommend the movie.
You know, it's funny because we kind of alternating with these movie podcasts. It's like X-Men was awful, Superman was good. Now
Ghost Rider
was awful. This was good.
So what's next? And Spider-Man's gonna suck.
Yeah, I guess Spider-Man's the next one. Spider-Man,
I liked
then
that trailer.
Then Fantastic Four. Yeah, there was the Spider. Well, Connor, do you have
there
a little rant?
They showed the new Spider-Man trailer, which was the same trailer they showed the WonderCon.
Okay.
Which, according to the guy introducing it at WonderCon, was a special WonderCon only trailer that would
Apparently
only
not.
Be ever shown in WonderCon.
Yeah,
it was exactly the same as the one we just saw.
Marketing.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I dug it.
No, it was awesome.
I was like, I want to see that.
But
like, I was.
It
never,
looked so good. Yeah, it really
did. We're teasing our next movie.
Yeah, exactly. So.
You know what? Also, I mean, as long as I'm doing it, because we're not running long.
Sure.
The Fantastic Four.
Trailer's
trailer.
Really good.
Looks great.
It makes me want to see that movie. And
I'm so excited for that movie.
Well, yeah, but you were willing to watch the first one.
I still am. I bought the DVD.
I know. It's a piece of shit, though.
Yeah, nah.
No, it's a piece of shit.
No,
it's kind of fun.
It's a piece of shit. It's fun. It's not
Let's not do this Fantastic Four fight in the middle of 300.
Anyway, it doesn't matter what you
right.
what it is. What it's
yeah.
I think it's a piece of shit.
Right, okay.
I'm watching the Fantastic Four trailer and I'm going, oh, I kind of want to see that.
They nailed the Silver Surfer.
Man.
I'm psyched. Oh,
it looks
psyched. Yeah, I'm totally psyched. So. I think Fantastic Four 2 is going to be a lot. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Spider-Man 3, of course, is going to be a blast. So so stay tuned come May when we have our special Spider-Man coverage.
Ooh.
So all right, cool. So yeah, 300, I guess I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yep. So thumbs up for my fanboy. So if you haven't seen it, go see it. We strongly recommend it. If you haven't read the book, go pick it.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie and you like the movie, you never bought the book.
If you like sweaty, muscly men, also, this is probably good for you.
A little of the homoeroticism. A little bit. Just a skinch.
Well, I
just
think that's inherent in the Spartan
okay.
way.
I'm okay with that. Yeah. So this is Spartan.
That was Greece. Okay.
Greece. So, all right, cool. So I'm Ron.
I'm
Josh. Goodbye.